Lifestyle matters. It's more than money. Well, my friend, I'm here, Dave Popowicz, Rob Geary. We've got another, I think, a really important show, an interesting show to do today. There's a couple of things. We're going to deal with a little bit of financial and a little bit of lifestyle stuff. I've spoken on this topic regularly around dementia and the effect that it has had on my family. And we've got some additional resources that we're going to bring to bear. And it turns out that, you know, up to one in three Canadians are going to be impacted by dementia. And I don't mean that they're going to get dementia, but they'll know somebody that has dementia and it will impact their life. The numbers are staggering. And so I think it's incumbent upon us to make sure that from a financial perspective, from a healthcare perspective, from an emotional perspective, that we're ready to deal with this, this particular of affliction. And a question that you and I get asked all the time is, do I defer my pension benefits like CPP and OAS?
It's a daily one.
It is a daily one. And it's a confusing topic for people. And so we're going to bring on a recurring guest that we've had for on the show for years, Fred Batiste. And he's going to talk a little bit about the deferral of OAS, because he's been a bit ambivalent on the deferral from 65 to 70, taking it at 65 to 70. But he's less ambivalent right now. And we want to find out why. So we're going to talk about that. So stick around for that. Now, in this segment, we often just talk a little bit about markets and, you know, what we're talking about with clients. And here's, I'm going to set the scene, and I want you to give me your comments on this. One of the things that I'm hearing from people now is exhaustion. Mm-hmm. So we had the first 6 months of this year with June being bad, you know, market crash. Scary. Then we had a bit of a summer reprieve with a rally for the next 6 weeks, turned a little negative again in August. And we, you know, here we are today. Right. And the conversation I'm having with people is, oh, I feel exhausted. Right.
Right.
Things just don't seem to be getting better. Talk to me about what's happening in the markets and what you're seeing or clients are feeling. People are feeling at this time.
Yeah. Well, it's been a year.
Yeah.
Right. It's been a last. I think you said it. We hit all time highs at the end of January.
Yep. And of this year. Yep.
And things have come off.
Yep.
Right. It's come off over 8 months, and there has been continued news sources and things, feels like on a daily basis, that is a lot of doom and gloom. And when do we get out of this? And for us, we've been through these cycles.
Yes.
But for a lot of individuals, it's been longer. This has been a longer process, and this sense of time was different from the years prior.
Well, you know, that's a really interesting point. Let's talk about that, because people's most recent experience with a pullback was in March of 2020 when the pandemic really broke, right? Mm-hmm. Late February, early March. You had a very interesting conversation with a client who completely didn't remember, like. You said, do you remember what happened in that period? And no recollection of it. And we started talking about that and thinking about that. And that particular pullback was very short-lived, wasn't it?
Right.
Because of the stimulus response to it, S&P, if memory serves me correct, was down 35%
right.
at one point. I don't think the S&P has been down more than 23% in this most recent pullback. So it was much steeper, a much further decline that we saw in March of 2020. But the difference is it snapped back relatively quickly because of central bank and government response to the pandemic.
It was a blink of an eye.
It was the blink of an eye, all things considered. And so this that word exhaustion that I used intentionally, because the last time that we've experienced a regular sort of recessionary, drawn-out economic cycle was back in 2008-09.
Right.
And that's long forgotten by investors, right? So what we're experiencing right now, I would say, is a more normal economic response to the cycle, right? We always go through cycles, right? You get booming markets and economies, and then things roll over and we have recessions, and then things start again. They're all cycles. But this one, it's been a long time since people have felt what we're feeling right now.
Right. And I think some of the exhaustion comes from one of the main pieces that we talk about on a daily basis right now, which is inflation, the R word, recession, right? And we feel like we're in a waiting pattern. I think that's what's drawing this period of time out as well, where we're going, there's a lot of, we're waiting for the next data point.
Correct.
And that's it.
Right. Well, and the process has to play itself out, right? The central banks have taken some aggressive action on interest rate increases. Now we have to let that play out. Now, interest rate increases can take sort of 6 months to play itself out. And so when you think about that, oh my God, the exhaustion of, okay, has inflation peaked in June? And well, a trend isn't a single data point. As you said, it's going to take a few. So now we've got months to go through before it's confirmed. And that's the cycle we're in. Now that's a normal cycle, right? This is a normal cycle. It's just that we have not been in a normal cycle, I would argue, for you know, probably 2008-09. I mean, we're talking 10, 12, 13 years ago that people, and there's no way if they don't remember what happened in March of 2020, that people remember how they felt going through that particular cycle, right? So I really get that emotional response to this thing, the exhaustion and so on and so forth. But, you know, it is interesting to look at the economic data. The problem is that data can't overcome emotion, right?
Right.
So I suppose we're in a privileged position that we're researching all day long, every day. We know what historical cycles have done. We look at the data, we compare it, I suppose that helps us not just as advisors but as investors. Okay, we can calm ourselves and we can get people through it. But when you're looking at the headlines, they're scary.
Yeah.
All right. And then this thing drags on for months and months and months, and there's where you start to just get worn down. Right.
Right.
And we talk to lots of people, and you got to avoid trying to slip going down that rabbit hole of catastrophic thinking.
Right.
Right. Because it's easy to do that when you're exhausted. Things will never get better.
And I would say that the word catastrophic, everyone goes to again, that R word of recession. And recession That's worst case scenario. Recession means that we're all going to lose our houses. Everyone's going to lose their jobs and everything, right? And we feel like we're waiting for that to happen.
Right.
Data's come in. Data came in last week on Canadian job numbers, right? Mm-hmm. And the unemployment is rising, but we're slowing. But that doesn't mean that it is catastrophic whatsoever.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And you got to be careful too. You got to use the data. You've got to remain balanced and you've got to have a base case scenario, but you do need to plan for if it's better than you expect or worse than you expect, right? That's prudent planning.
Right.
But the catastrophic thinking can drive very emotional decision-making, which doesn't always, in fact, rarely matches reality and therefore can create problems. So, you know, I think it's important, you know, we're going to actually put on a community session for clients and friends talking about behavioral finance because it's an important piece for people, right? Again, the data and the emotion are two different things, and it's really difficult for data to overcome emotion. And so we actually need to address the emotional side of investing because you've got to keep that in check to avoid the big problems that people can create for themselves.
And the timing mechanism right now in the last 6 months, and you're starting to think about retirement.
Yep.
Which a lot more people in the country are.
Well, that's right. That's what that jobs data said, didn't it?
It did.
Yep.
There's a lot more people, 54 to 65, right? That are thinking about this.
Right. Or they're tired. They've gone through the pandemic. Yep. I don't want to go back.
Yep.
Right. You're going to see a wave of retirements hitting the Canadian, the North American and perhaps Western Europe as well.
And not just economic, the demographic is going to continue.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. Okay, listen, the retirement is a neat period of time in a person's life because it's complex. It's complex from a financial perspective. It's complex from a family dynamic perspective. And it's also complex from a health perspective, right? And so all of these things need to be considered if you want what I would consider a high quality experience in retirement. Right. And we're going to talk about that framework, and we're going to talk about some of the challenges and how to prepare and protect yourself against some of those potential pitfalls as you move through retirement.
You bet. Join us once again live on Tuesday, September 20th, 7 p.m. This will be at the Four Point Sheraton Hotel. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Okay, let's stick around after break because we're going to be talking about dementia. 1 in 3 Canadians likely to be impacted by dementia as we move forward from here. And it's important to make sure that we're properly prepared to support the family and each other as we go through that. Stick around after the break here on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.